All right, we're live. Tapping Birdie, PGA Championship at Hala with my good friend Andy Lack. Andy, how you doing tonight?
I'm great, man. You know, last time we did this, I was in Augusta at the Masters, and I'm genuinely really happy to watch this one from home for a number of reasons. I think I'd be tremendously triggered if I was at that golf course based on some of the information I've been receiving from, you know, some of our mutual friends. And, but yeah, I've just, you know, I've been doing a lot of traveling, so it's good to be sleeping in my own bed for this one. I feel like I have a better, I don't have the practice info, round info that I was able to provide at the Masters, but I've spent so much more time like on my computer this week, thinking about ownership and thinking about certain guys and looking at data and stuff like that. Whereas at the Masters, you know, I was phoneless for 9 hours a day. So I didn't really have that type of edge.
You were jonesing for takes. Like, you didn't know what people were saying.
I know exactly what people are saying this week.
Yeah, because you've been on quite a run of like going to major championships. Like, you were at LACC and you were at Woke Hill and you were at the Masters. So, I mean, you obviously didn't ship over to England, but you've been burning the candle at both ends trying to get to these major championship venues.
Let me ask you this question. Would you rather attend the Master? Let's just say logistics and price aren't part of the equations. Would you rather attend the Masters or the Open Championship?
What? Obviously the Masters. Like, I don't know what it would have to be like. No, honestly, going to majors is like not that amazing, to be honest. Like, going to the Masters is, but like, just in general, like the amount of people they let in, and like, I don't know, maybe Oak Hill wasn't the greatest viewing experience. Like, for
fans. it was pouring rain. Oak Hill was pouring rain.
No, I
will never forget. We're walking up. What is it?
The par five?
No, we're walking up two, and me, you, and Natalie, and you just eat total.
No, it was a par five. It was a par five.
What was that, four?
Yeah, it was four, and I just fell right on my. I was like trying to get a spot, and I just slipped and fell, and everyone laughed at me. Like, everyone just stopped.
Can you believe that was a year ago?
Honestly, I texted Kill. RK. Shout out.
That was like when I was like, I had been dating Natalie for like a month and a half. And I was like, hey, you want to come to Rochester for the PGA Championship?
Like Rochester, New York.
You want to come from San Francisco to meet me in Rochester, New York for 2 days to hang out and follow Rory McIlroy in the pouring rain with me and my buddies, BK and RK, who you've never met before, but I promise it's going to be sick.
Yeah, no, I mean, I texted RK. I was like, I wish we were shipping up to Rochester this week. Like, that was a great time. Had a lot of fun there. Like, the course was good, obviously, now. Like, playing it, you know. Like, Oak Hill has a special place in my heart. We had a very nice dinner that week at that Italian spot.
Italian spot was good. We had a fun night at that game place with Capper and Twitterless Steve too.
Yeah,
and
had a couple drinks.
And if you're free, if you can fit in your schedule, we'll head on back to Oak Hill this summer. I want to take Kyle up there. Like, honestly, no beef with Kyle because he's watching this. Like, I love Kyle's one of my best friends in the world. I don't know if he'd enjoy Oak Hill yet.
I mean, like, I don't
like,
know.
Did you enjoy it?
Like I didn't, like, again. I'm not very good at golf. Game's trending. Like, we could
sure. Game's trending. Do you think you're better right now than you were last summer?
Oh, easily. Like, we've leveled up the iron game.
Because I still think
Oak Hill is fucking impossible for like a 15 plus handicap.
Yeah.
Like, if we play, like, it's like, it was raining, like, whatever. It was a little bit wet, but yeah, I mean, it was tough, but like, I'm down to go back, play the West course, like, no beef. Like, I love Rochester, like, love Oak Hill. So it's a true no beef situation.
Yeah. I think that you would really enjoy the East course because, first of all, like, it's in just as good condition as the West.
Yeah.
Like the greens are so pure. It's in really great shape. And it doesn't really hit you over the head the way that the East Course does.
Jimmy Dunn, just play the forward tees. You'll have fun. I'm down. Legit. I'm like legit down. But PGA Championship week, like solid event last week. Atwell Hollow. Cannot wait for the PGA Championship to be there next year. It will be the worst major of this century, like without a doubt. Like I hate the PGA more knowing we're going to Quail Hollow next year, but that's a story for a different day. Like it's okay. But I think a pretty relevant tournament in terms of this week. And you know, there are obviously two guys at the top there, Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele. Kind of want to get Xander out of the way before we dive more into Rory. But to me, like, that wasn't that bad of a Xander loss in my book. Like, I'm not going to say that was, like, an embarrassing loser. Like, he's actually the worst loss because no one, even Scottie Scheffler or anyone in the world, was beating Rory McIlroy on Sunday. Like, I think last year losing to Wyndham and like the Players Championship and Genesis, like those were all worse. Like I'll give Xander a pass for Wells. Like, was it that bad for you? Or do you think that we should be a little bit harsher on Xander, who's my dad's pick this week, by the way?
Yeah, I've defended Xander's performance in contention a lot over the years. And this was another one of those where he gained strokes to the field, but he didn't produce the ceiling round that you need to produce in contention to win a golf tournament. And that's what happens with Xander very often. So the stats can be a little bit misleading. Like, I will throw a challenge flag on myself sometimes in terms of the stats with Xander, because what Xander does very well is, he doesn't eject, and he plays to his baseline, and his baseline is really strong. But every single time the guy that wins a golf tournament produces a ceiling round, right? Like, yeah, that's how you win the golf tournament. And Xander seems like Xander's best opportunities to win are the occasions when the other guys in contention eject, which happens sometimes, right? Yeah. Like, that happens all the time. But no, I mean, Xander gained 13 strokes ball striking last week. Xander hit the ball better than Rory last week. I like Xander a lot this week.
So Rory was just like a luck box putter, is what you're saying.
They were similar in ball striking, and Rory did putt better on Sunday. But you know, I will say with Xander, as it pertains to this week from a DraftKings standpoint, if the narrative coming out of last week is like, Rory sucked Xander's soul and he's not going to be able to play well this week or compete, and that was this like demoralizing experience for Xander, then I think it's just a really bad take. Like, I think,
yeah,
tell me you've never like had a conversation with any of these guys or their caddies. Like, that's not how it works. Xander's going to be fine this week. Xander will. And he's looked amazing in the practice rounds from what I've heard too. He always does. Xander will be fine.
Xander this week, as it pertains to this week, like in my opinion, he was more of a lock top 10 at the Masters. Like, that to me was like more of a spot for him. Like, I don't think Xander is just going to top 10 this week, in my opinion. Like, I'm sure he can be around, but I'm not like, yo, Xander top 10 is an absolute whale bomb. Like, for me, like,
who do you think's better chance to top 10, Xander or Rory? Because I know you're kind of low on Rory this week.
No, it's a good question, actually. Fuck. Shit. I'll go like slight edge to Rory, like maybe. But I guess we could get into Rory now, as it pertains to last week, how it pertains to this week. You know, another thing to add to your models, like I know, like yourself, like I run many variations of my models throughout the week. Like, I just want to make sure I'm capturing everything correctly. And I just found out that Rory did not attend the PGA Championship dinner with the past champions. He was not in the party. He wasn't in the picture. So that, you know, model number 4, I think it is right now, that is getting factored in. Already had to do another one with the divorce. So Rory, I have a lot of takes, and it's tough for me to kind of put out there, but I think it's just kind of preposterous, and I don't think we've like acknowledged the fact that since 2021, he has won the event before going into a major at a course he's won at already. Like, that seems like a crazy thing to happen one time in history, and it's happened three times in 3 years, and it's just like, it just seems wild that he keeps doing this where he knows how to peak. It's just like an event before at like a slapdick PGA Tour event when all he cares about and all anyone cares about is him doing it a week later.
So you're basically saying we've seen this movie with Rory a million times before. Yeah.
Like this exact movie. Like it's not right, like playing well the week before a major. It's like playing well the week before a major and going to a course he's won at.
But can I play devil's advocate and give you the other movie that we've seen before?
Yeah.
Which is the last time. I'm just going to read to you Rory coming off a breakup. Okay.
Yeah.
The last time. He was engaged to the tennis player Caroline Wozniacki in 2014. This was the major relationship that he was in before now his ex-wife, Erica. But Rory ends his relationship with Caroline Wozniacki in May of 2014.
Do we have an exact date or just May?
Yeah, it was BMW PGA Championship week. He officially ended it May 27th. I did some research on this.
Okay.
Won the BMW PGA Championship the week that he ended the relationship. T15, T23, missed cut at the Irish Open, T14, wins the Open Championship, wins the Bridgestone Invitational, wins the PGA Championship at Valhalla, T22, T5, T8, T2, 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 T15. So in the next seven starts after his last breakup, he won four times, two majors, and a WGC. So that's not me saying like,
that's just the data. Like that's just the data.
Like
data.
I'm not picking Rory this week. Like that's just the data. Is that Rory?
The numbers don't lie.
And I tweeted that out, and like a lot of people were like, oh, are you betting Rory this week? And I'm like, I'm literally just stating a fact of the golf that Rory played the last time he got out of a relationship. And this is not for us to speculate, right? Like my tweet was not codified with anything about like, oh, this is good that he's getting a divorce, or this is good that, you know, he's single now, or none of us know. Like this is, first of all, divorce doesn't, like, it's not like him and Erica got in a fight like yesterday and are filing for divorce today, right? You know, my parents are divorced. They stayed together. They knew they were getting divorced for probably 5 years before they actually filed for divorce. So we have no idea how long that this has been an aspect or affecting Rory emotionally and been a part of his life. All we know is that a variable is changing for Rory.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that, you know, when my parents finally signed the paperwork and got divorced, it improved both of their lives dramatically. And we've seen that with Rory in the past when he got out of his last relationship, he played the best golf of his entire career. So it's interesting to watch this week, but I think that's all you can say is you could say it's going to be fascinating to watch. We just don't know, but it's another fun storyline to track.
Yeah. I mean, to me, and like, this is like my general take is that I think Rory gets another major when he's a little bit more under the radar and he's just coming in like a normal dude, like last year at LACC, where it wasn't a course he's ever played before. He was playing average golf coming in. He wasn't doing anything crazy. It wasn't off a win. He wasn't at his last major win. And he really performed super well that week. And it was like, oh shit. Like, I guess we all forgot about Rory. And this week, it's like, he even knows it. Like, hit to me, him saying, I feel like the stars are aligning is such a ridiculous, like, you should never say that as a golfer. And to think that he actually believes that, that now it's like trending, like, oh, he's going back to where he won. Like, he's playing well. And like, he actually thinks that's a reason he's going to win a major. Like, that's crazy to me. And it just shows he's too deep into his head about it. Like, give me Rory when he's just playing average golf at a course he's never played at before. I do not think Rory is going to win this week. I do think he gets another major, but I just think there's just too much pressure and too much storylines on him this week. And it's total anecdotal and mental, but that's my opinion on Rory this week. Like, I think he's a better chance to win LACC, in my opinion.
You mean Pinehurst?
Yeah.
So we can stop. We've done enough, Rory, I think. But so can I just ask you about a couple guys that, like, in the range, would you be more surprised if this guy won the golf tournament or Rory won the golf tournament?
Yeah.
Rom, who's more likely to win, Rory or Rom?
I think Rory. Just because I'm like,
so like the point that I'm making is like, we're going to go down the odds board and you're going to be like, Rory can't win. And there's going to be like three golfers that you think have a better chance to beat Rory this week. Like, yeah, that's how good he's out playing. On Rom. Okay.
Like,
all right.
But like, I don't know. I just think that we've just seen it so many times. Like, it's nothing new. And like, as good as he played last week, like, Rory in an elevated event at Wells Fargo, like playing against Xander, is like peak Rory. Peak Rory is not in a major right now. It's like on the PGA Tour where it doesn't really matter. And like, that's just kind of where I'm at. Again, I would love Rory to win. Like, I genuinely would be super pumped. It'd be great for golf. Like, I would love for Rory to win. Like, I'm not going to Vic lap it. But yeah. I would really love to see that. And I think there's just too much going on with him this week for him to act like 26-year-old Rory with a massive dick and like start club twirling his drivers and like go out and actually win a tournament. Like, I don't know. I just don't see it.
Well, I mean, he is single again.
Is Rory like, I know he was just married. Like, I feel like Rory, like, you know, I think he's like kind of a bachelor dude. Like, I think he, you know, likes to be around with women. Like the video of him at Bridgestone in 2014, where like that random blonde girl was there. Like, he likes to get around. So good for him, honestly. Like, I hope that it helps him. But I just don't think this is going to be like Rory's going to shoot -5 on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's I think it's a fair take. I'm not picking Rory this week. I am playing him in daily fantasy. I will admit, like, I would be very surprised if Rory doesn't play well this week. I'd be genuinely shocked if he,
like, I think he has outside worse this. I think he has outside top 15 potential this week.
I'd be genuinely shocked if he finished outside the top 15 or 20. I think he's a good daily fantasy play. My expectation is not for him to win the golf tournament. Yeah. And for me, that's a freeing place to be. Because you witness firsthand the energy that I had walking off of the grounds at Augusta after watching Rory play Augusta on Tuesday. And it was like a spiritual experience for me getting to watch Rory, you know, up close with my dad, walk those 9 holes with him at Augusta, and watching him and Ludwig shoot like a best ball 24 with like Rory telling Ludwig.
I love how the best ball has gotten lower.
It just gets lower. Now it's
24. It's like,
like shooting
16 on the
back. Yeah. Shooting like a best ball 24 and him like teaching Ludwig how to play golf and how to play the golf course. And then Thursday morning happens and he hits like 2 shots and I'm like, oh wow, like that's not the guy that I watched a day ago. And after that I was like, I don't care what the circumstances are heading into a major. I don't care if he, like, I made the joke, like, last week's the ultimate Rory thirst trap, like one of the most provocative performances I've seen on a golf course in the last 5 years. I'm not gonna expect it. I'm not going to expect it anymore.
Yeah. So, if it happens, it happens.
So we'll talk about the other guys that I'm picking ahead of him, but,
Are people like sleeping on Scotty this week? I'm like, not even joking. Like, that's like a real take. Like, I feel like people are forgetting that he just won fucking Harbortown after winning the Masters. And I don't know. Like, I reports from the ground, Adam and Jers, our good friends, are saying Scotty has no chance to win this tournament. He is not going to win. He can't separate himself here. He hasn't played golf. He hasn't played professional golf in 4 weeks. Like,
is that from a course fit standpoint or like what they're seeing? Because I've been talking to Jers a fair amount this morning too. And I think I'm like on the same page about this being a much more, it's all relative with Scotty, right? But I think that this is a much more difficult golf course for Scotty to like win by five on than the Masters was.
I agree.
But have we seen anything in the pre-week preparation that would be a red flag?
No, I just think they like, again, like this course is just going to bring more people into it. And a
totally
lot of
agree with that.
Can contend versus Augusta, where it's just like, yeah, like Scotty starts on whatever. Like he starts basically at five under. What I will say, and this is legit, like this is like in all seriousness, Scotty has never won on a course that he's never played before. Genuinely. And I know that most people probably that checks out. At the end of the day, like Scotty has won on courses where he feels comfortable. He has a plan. He's probably already won at it. He's already played well at it. And he's yet to win a major. That's obviously not the Masters. And I don't know. I think there's something there. Like, I genuinely do think there's something there in terms of like when he's played a course and he can plot it around with Ted, like it's just a lot easier for him versus showing up to Valhalla, which he's never played before. And I know most people haven't played it before, but I do think that there's something there in terms of like, yo, like he has his spots and Valhalla is not a Scotty spot. So I hope everyone's right and that he's not going to win, but I'm not going to be like, no, he actually like might not win this week. Like I'm still like losing $500 most likely to Scotty.
Yeah. I've spoken about this a lot. Like I think the course fit argument, the course fit argument against Scotty is really strong this week, but at the same time, you know, worst case scenario, like you're hoping for like a situation like Houston, right? Where Houston was a golf course that I thought brought a fair amount of guys into play because it didn't really penalize inaccurate driving the way that I think we, it kind of turned into a driver putter golf course. Right.
Yep.
And this golf course, I think is starting to feel more like a long irons and putter golf course.
Yeah.
And Scotty is a better long iron player than he is a driver. And so I still think at worst, like the way that Scotty won the Masters, he's not going to be able to win this golf tournament, right? Like how did Scotty win the Masters? He won the Masters because he was the best long iron player in the field and he had the best
short game
in the
was
field.
Amazing.
And Augusta's really difficult around the greens. And so when everybody's missing greens, not only is Scotty hitting the highest percentage of greens, but because so many people are missing greens, and the shots around the green require so much challenge and creativity. That's how he has his edge. And he gains 8 strokes around the greens and wins the Masters. He can't win that way here. Yeah. Because the shot around the green, as I'm sure you've talked to Jers about, it's the same shot every time. The ball lands in the rough 2 yards long of the green. And you have the same plop out shot every time. And that's why I think you and I like Victor Hovland this week, because it's like, if you know how to execute at Augusta, there's like 18 different shots that you can hit. If you know how to execute one shot at Valhalla, you can be fine here. And so I think there's less pathways for Scotty to separate. And that's why I'm not playing him in DFS.
You're out.
I'm fading him. Yeah. I'm fading Love Scotty
it.
In DFS.
Love it. No, I hope everyone's right. Like I'm down. Like I might do some dual forecast. We'll see. I'm out on Brooks. I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he is like a lock for a top 5, top 10. Like again, I see him. I think he has outside top 15 potential this week. Okay. He won Live Singapore. Like, are we really going to like do that again. I just, again, I know we're kind of on the same page. I don't think he gets the six majors. He might, but I'm just going to peel my eyes and hope that he doesn't win.
I think I'm a lot higher on you than, Brooks.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to win either, but I think he's going to be heavily relevant in this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be pretty surprised if Brooks isn't relevant here.
Yeah. No,
I didn't bet him, but I'm playing him in daily fantasy.
You'll Vic Lapp if he plays well.
Well, he'll be in a lot of my DraftKings lineup, so hopefully that creates a path to me.
Okay.
To
me. Is he like first guy in, second guy in, or?
I'm gonna do 50% Rory lineups and 50% Brooks lineups.
Okay.
That's what I'm gonna do.
You bet John Rahm. He's kind of shot up the odds board a little bit. You know, there's a lot to say about John Rahm. You know, he upended the world of golf. Like, he plays on a team called Legion 13. Like, he plays with Caleb Surratt and Kieran Vincent. Like, he's top 10 every week on LIV. There's reports he wasn't really getting along with people well at the Masters. He sucked at the Masters. Like, there's a lot to kind of say. And at the end of the day, he's a top five player in the world. There's a great course for him. He's had a good number. Like, I think overall in general, like, I think betting Rahm 18-20 to 1 is a winning bet long term, and I'm sure that played into your strategy and thought process for going in on Rahm.
Yeah, I was having like a really difficult time choosing this week between Rahm and Brooks. I do think both those guys are going to show up this week. Okay. I really do, and I kind of settled on, like, I suppose hedging it for myself, where I'm going to just bet Rahm and play Brooks in DFS, mainly because Rahm's 11.4 and 20-1 and Brooks is 10.8 and 15-1. I know ownership plays a factor in that, but I have enough leverage in other spots. So I think Rahm at 20-1, that's just a bet that you could feel pretty good about, given the fact that, I think there's still a chance that, like, he's the second best player in the world. We have a little bit more of a difficult time quantifying LIV data, but what we can say about it is, you know, he's the only guy on LIV to finish top 10 in every single.
No. We're not saying that on Tim. That's like bare minimum. Like, it's literally bare minimum of what he should fucking do when Brendan Steele and Dean Burmy are fucking winning. Like, I'm not doing the Rahm top 10 every LIV event. I'm not. Like, Cox out for LIV, like, I'm just not doing it.
I don't know where all the LIV guys are right now, because I bet so many LIV. I'm playing so many LIV guys this week. So I was hoping, what's his actual name? He, like, changes his name on. Yeah. No, he changes. Don't give his real name, but, like, what's his name on Twitter right now? He changes his name. I looked at it this morning. It was like, Abe Anser got snubbed. Like,
He literally had, like, what happened to Louis at PGA after, like, it came out that Louis was like,
he's my favorite. He's my favorite.
No, he's a good guy. Like, he's a good guy.
He guys is the man. I love that guy. But yeah, I mean, I assume there's a lot of guys that we need to get to, so I'm not going to give you a million Rahm reasons, but I think 20-1 is a about as good of a bet as you can make this week on the caliber of player that he is.
Yeah. I agree. I think it would be good for golf if he contends. Ludwig Aubert, you know, the knee thing, that's enough for me to not be on him. You know, again, I just want to let people know this guy has won the RSM Classic. Like, that's it. Like, I understand he's extremely talented and, you know, played great at the Masters, but, like, this is still a guy that his only PGA Tour owned is the RSM Classic when he was the favorite. And he went up against fucking Eric Holt, like, and Matt Hughes. Like, all right. Like, I just don't think he should be, you know, 18-22-1. Like, I just don't. And, like, I just need to see a little bit more before he's going to go out and win a major. I believe that Open Championship pod last year, we, you know, Bryson, you know, lit up the world at Greenbrier and he shot a 58 and we were talking about next year. And it's kind of like, yo, like, Bryson at Valhalla, like, seems like a good spot. And this was when Bryson was playing really, really well on LIV. And he was just kind of mixed. He was, you know, first round leader at Woke Hill, and you know, he mixed at LACC, and I was like, yo, like 66-1, Bet Rivers, like I'm betting that, like I'm in on him, like long term, in the majors next year. He's 28-1. You bet him 35-1. We're both riding Bryson. I just think, you know, this is a great spot for him. I think he's gonna win another major. Talk about long iron player. He's hitting a fucking 8-iron when everyone's hitting a 5-iron. Like, yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, I think the last two courses on LIV were not great course fits. Like, I don't give a fuck what he did in Singapore. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't matter to me. And again, I think the short game did him in at Augusta. Like, he just doesn't have those shots. He has a simple chip. He could spike with the putter. He could hit fucking 3-wood and be 320. Like, I just think this is a great Bryson spot, and I could really see him winning this week, and I'm lucky I have a good number.
Agree with everything you said. He was my pick to win this golf tournament in December. I see no reason to deviate from that now. Don't love the amount of people that have kind of hopped on the bandwagon. I mean, you and I invented Bryson at Valhalla, what, obviously, like a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that he's gotten fairly popular this week, but I think it's for good reason. He always wins on bent grass. Like, you look at all of his best performances, all of his best putting performances, like Caves Valley, Rocket Mortgage, Winged Foot, John Deere Classic, Muirfield Village. Like, these are all bent grass golf courses in either this part of the country or the Northeast, right? Plainfield, Ridgewood, yeah. Oakmont, like all, he won the USA. Where did he win the USAM again? I think it was, I want to say when it, no, Benny on was Southern Hills. Point being, Bryson just plays well on these, on the, in this part of the country, on longer golf courses with thick rough. And I think that this is another tremendous spot for him. Like, I was talking to our friend Jurs today, and we were talking about how this is almost like more Caves Valley than Oak Hill, right? Like, yeah. I initially thought that this was a lot like Oak Hill in terms of the challenge and the thickness of the rough. And it's like, nah, it's kind of more like Caves Valley, where, you know, it's still long and there's still thick rough, but like, it's going to be easier for these guys to hit greens. And I think the main thing that you need to look at this week is everything needs to be viewed through the prism of, can this guy go toe to toe with Scottie Scheffler in a final pairing? And I did this little bit with Wiley on our Monday show, but like, if you are drafting players that you feel the most confident with in a final pairing with Scottie Scheffler on Sunday this week, Bryson is at worst, what, like the number two or number three guy off the board? Like, he won a US Open by 5. Like, when Bryson's at his best, like, he's the best putter in the world too.
Yeah.
Right. So.
No, I'm down. I'm hoping we get a winner together.
Who's your number one draft pick in that? Like, who would be number one?
Who was like, winning?
No. The number one guy that you would take Brooks. In a final pair. Brooks. Okay. So is Bryson your number two pick?
No, I think it's it's either Rahm or Rory.
Okay. But Bryson's in that mix for you, right?
Bryson's think like Bryson is like fucking Jack Nick. Like, I don't think he's like, yo, like, I trust this.
But do
guy
you think 100%. His ceiling can beat Scheffler? Do you think his ceiling can beat Scheffler?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I'm not like Bryson is like, yo, he gets in the mix like he's gonna win. Like, I don't feel like that.
Well, statistically, he has been like one of the best closers of the last 10 years.
Yeah, no, he like, but to me, he's not that guy. And it probably has to do with him playing on LIV. Like, it's tough for me to say. You bet Joaquin Niemann, 40-1. I think I bet it for you maybe on 365. So I'll Vic lap that. If it goes through, good bent grass putter, good long iron player, elite driver, 40-1, good GER percentage on LIV. Like, is that it? Like, what's the vibe with Jocko?
I just think that like, there's still a little bit of an element of unknown with some of these LIV players. And I do think that one thing that we can say for certain is like, the best that the PGA Tour has to offer cannot beat Scottie Scheffler right now. And I do think that losing to Scottie Scheffler every single week, and this applies to guys like Rory and Xander, and even guys like Wyndham that have put up really good fights. Like, and I talked about this. I'm repeating a little bit of this take about like how demoralizing it must have been for Rory and Xander to watch in real time. Scottie just proved to them how much better than he was on Friday at the Masters. I think with these LIV guys, like, it's a little bit like Scottie, who, like, okay, like, sweet. Like, they're not losing to this guy every single week on the PGA Tour. Of course, none of them beat him at the Masters. But I'm going to take a little bit of the element of unknown that maybe, just maybe, and this is the reason for Rahm, this is the reason for Bryson, this is the reason for Brooks, this is the reason for Neiman. Maybe, just maybe, they're a little bit closer to Scottie Scheffler right now. I mean, we don't know. They probably aren't.
It's a true who can say.
It's a true who can say, but maybe they're a little bit closer right now than some of the guys on the PGA Tour, and I'm willing to take that. I mean, Neiman just gained 8 strokes on approach at LIV Singy.
They're not real. It's not real. That's not like, it's not a real stat. It's fine.
Eight strokes on approach at LIV Singy. Two wins on LIV. Two wins,
like,
on
what
LIV.
Are we doing?
This
here?
Is like when the LIV people are supposed to back me up in the comments, and they're not coming. Two wins on LIV.
My question to you is, and like,
this six
is
top tens question. And 7 starts on LIV, mixes in a 4th in Dubai and a 3rd at Oman, a 3rd in the international.
3rd at Oman. No, this is a genuine question, because I think it's interesting. What would Joaquin Neiman have to do on the PGA Tour this past year to be 35-1 in this major? Never goes to LIV. LIV doesn't exist. In what world is Joaquin Neiman 35-1 if he stays on the PGA Tour? What would he have
to be honest with you, it's probably like a Wyndham Clark season.
Yeah.
Which is, he's having a Wyndham Clark season on LIV.
Okay, fine. I'm not gonna argue.
He's been the best player on LIV. Like, he's won 2 times on LIV. He's having a Wyndham Clark season on LIV.
Sure. And sure. I'm not doing this. Like, I'm just
by that argument, like, I understand that Wyndham, now thinking about it, like, what does Wyndham have that Neiman doesn't have? A US Open. And Neiman has
10 points higher.
And Neiman hasn't top 20'd in a major.
Yeah, like that.
But Wyndham hasn't hit his irons well in his last 3 starts, and Neiman just gained 8 at Singy.
Yeah, no, like, I'm just not there with Neiman, because I genuinely think his price is lower that he went to LIV than like it would ever be on the PGA Tour. And I understand he played well. It's just like, Neiman's not a 35-1 in a major guy for me just yet. And that's fine. It's all good. It's like, it's a true no beef situation. Like, it's genuinely okay. We're both on Hovland. I bet a 50. I have a 20, betting a 52. Like, we're doubling down here. Yeah. Look, I still think this is a great course for him. I mean, the guy was fucking 9-1 to win this event. I like the short game aspect. It's easy around the greens. The ball striking was great last week at Wells. I trust Victor Hovland. Again, you know, you could do it. Like, he's done well on these classical courses with thick rough, ton of long irons, like, have to hit a fade. Like, he's done that multiple times. Like, he checks all the boxes with the comp courses. And yeah, I don't give a fuck if he got AIDS. Like, I'll bet Hovland at 50-1 here. Like, I just don't care. Like, it's just too big of a price to miss out on this guy. That's a great course fit. Like, yeah, 25-1, 30-1. It's like, all right, like, he probably sucks. But like, 50-1, I'll fucking bet anyone at 50-1. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, Hovland 50-1, I don't care.
Totally agree. I mean, if we were based on like, I was ready to bet this guy at Valhalla at like 20-1.
Yeah.
Based on the podcast that I did in December. If you told me, you know, that I would be able to, I got a 43, so I'm pretty hyped about that. But if you told me that I was going to be able to get 40+ on a golf course that I thought was built for Victor Hovland, I would be over the moon, and I wouldn't really care too much about form. I would just make the blind bet. Like, we are talking about Zoysia. He's had He's won East Lake, Anzoia, all these thick rough around the green golf courses. His best around the green performances of his career. It's Olympia Fields. It's Muirfield Village. It's Oak Hill. It's all these thick rough Bay Hill, Torrey Pines, like all of these golf courses that have thick rough around the green. Hovland has shown to us that he actually has that shot in his bag, and the short game got better for him over the weekend at Quail Hollow. He led the field in approach play on Sunday at Quail Hollow. So I love the bet. I feel great about it.
No, I think
it's a good bet. Like, I'm playing him in DK. Like, I think Hovland's going to fuck this week.
I'm with you. We're usually not in lockstep. Like, I'm with you. Like,
is that your official pick to win? Like, who do you like more? If you had to give like one,
I think my official pick to win is definitely Keith Mitchell. Like, without a doubt, like
over Bryson,
Keith Mitchell. I mean, okay. I'm kidding. I don't fuck. I genuinely like. I'm not like, yo, like,
because you haven't told me the card. Like, all I know, it's not your done. Card.
No, it's almost done. I'm probably at like
your card is because you have room. All you have is Bryson 66. Are you counting the Hovland 20 against you?
No, I'm. I mean, I bet a full 50.
Yeah. Okay. So, is the 20 full?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, like I don't give a fuck what people want me to do. Like, I could just say I never bet Hovland. Like, I'm doubling down.
Right, 50. Right. Which is what most people do. Like, yeah, they bet a bad future and they act like it doesn't exist.
Like, absolutely, there is zero correlation with me betting a lot of money on Hovland to win this golf tournament in August and me still think he could win. There's no correlation. It's completely unbiased. Zero. I'm kidding. It's a joke. There's no confirmation bias here, but I can admit that. But in all honesty, he fucked that last week, and I'm ready to go on him. Why are you out on Homa? I bet Homa. Why are you out on Homa?
Well, he's never finished top 20 in a U.S. Open or PGA ever.
Okay.
Kind of like our boy Neiman.
Did Homa finish third at Oman?
Homa did not finish third at Oman. Homa has not gained 8 strokes on approach on Zoysia at Liv Singing. We're just every time Neiman makes a par this week, I'm just going to text you and Kyle, third at Oman. No, I don't like Homa at all. I think it's a bad bet, to be honest with you. Like, what is he? He's never played well at a US Open or a PGA Championship before. And I don't think it's bad. I'm just like trolling a little bit. Like, you know, like if there's a guy that you really like and I'm not betting, where was Homa at Oman? You can't spell Oman without Homa.
No, you
can't. I did with, you know, who is the guy that I'm like, this is the worst bet? Mackenzie Hughes. It's a little bit of a bet, but Homa's long irons have not been good, and he's not been driving the ball well this year. Fair. And I don't think that his ball striking is sharp enough to win a major.
It's fair. You know, I don't.
Why do you like him? What's the main sell?
I don't know. I mean, he was good at Olympia Fields. Like, he basically won that tournament.
Doesn't it feel like Cantlay market corrects every Homa argument? Like, if you're arguing for Homa at whatever 40-1, 35-1, Homa wins.
Cantlay doesn't win.
Cantlay has more wins than Homa on the PGA Tour. Cantlay has 7.
Doesn't count. Got to subtract the fucking Zerk.
I think they still have the same amount of wins.
Regardless.
And Cantlay's been better. Cantlay's been better in majors.
That's fair. Patrick Cantlay's not winning.
You're just vibing Homa more. Okay.
Yeah, I don't love Homa. I'm not like, yo, like telling my fucking boss to bet Homa this week. Like, I think it is a little bit too much to like contend at the Masters and then win the next major. Like, you got me. Like, it's fine. I haven't bet him yet, but I just think Wyndham 45 is just like a numbers play for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, it's just like this guy's shown it, and I think everyone will feel really dumb if he's in the mix at 45-1. But genuinely, I do not think Wyndham Clark is going to win the U.S. Open and the PGA. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about like Valhalla potential LACC comp, you think about like the Valhalla 2014 leaderboard, and it's Rory and Ricky, and then Rory and Ricky fuck at LACC again. And that's where Wyndham and tracking?
I'm seeing it.
You're seeing it. No, this is like my eighth hour of podcasting of the week. So I'm just like trying to give new takes. But I don't love Wyndham this week either. I think it's a bad bet.
Like just trending, not trending.
He hasn't been hitting his irons.
He could have picked this year.
Where was he in Oman? Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been hitting his irons well. I just don't think Wyndham.
What about like the Nicholas Trump Wyndham connection?
Now we're talking. Power fade off the tee. Like on paper, this is a really good fit for Wyndham. He hits a power cut off the tee. You know, he should be good on this style of longer, thick rough golf course. He hasn't really done a lot of it yet, though. But that's just because he just got good recently. So like he doesn't have the track record as some of these other guys. But
so who do you like 60 to 100, like no chance to win, but ESL?
ESL. Well,
like Sungjae doing anything for you?
No. Absolutely.
Sepp Straka doing anything for you?
No.
Doing anything for you?
No.
Really?
I'll give you a couple of ESL guys. Sahith ESL.
Really?
Minwoo Lee ESL.
You like Minwoo Lee this week?
Yeah, but I like him a little bit less if I think it's going to be long irons. The long irons worry me a little bit more with him.
But like driver putter, he fucks.
Driver putter, he fucks. Who was the other guy I was looking at? Oh, Hatton ESL, Adam Scott ESL.
I like Scott. I could fuck with Scott.
Yeah, Dean Burmey ESL, Shane Lowry ESL. Shane Lowry's 120-1. That's a good bet.
Can we do the Dean thing?
Yeah. Oh, wait, hang on. I can give you, I'm just going to read you every player that's ESL for me. Rye, Mitchell, Kitayama, Pendrith, Ekro, Lukless, Burmey, Jaeger, Bradley are ESL.
Like Kitty, those are ESL. The punts down.
That's the whole player pool. Yeah.
I like,
just gave it all away. People actually pay for that.
Like to me, Dean Burmey, like, is he really gonna do it? Like, is he really gonna win, like, live Miami and contend at Valhalla in the same year? Like to me, like that just seems like too much. But elite driver, good long iron player. Like I think he is a solid guy. Like I think he's like actually gonna golf. Like I wish he was on the PGA Tour. It's just like I kind of worry about the pressure of being invited and everyone expecting you to kind of play well. Is he gonna be chalky in DFS?
Yeah, I was gonna comment on that. I feel like this concept of like, is Dean B really going to do it, is like the ultimate we're in a bubble take, because like
that was a joke. That was like,
99% of people don't know that Dean B is in the field. I don't even think that he's going to be super highly owned in daily fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what's super high? I can give you an ownership projection.
Yeah. What is it? And what is Ben Ahn's ownership projection?
Dude, it's not that high. Like, it's too spread out this week. Like, there's nobody over 25%. Rory and Scotty are going to be 25%. And everybody else is going to be Benny on is going to be what, how expensive is he? 7.8.
Yeah.
Benny on's going to be like 13%. He's going to be higher than like, it's a lot.
Who are the biggest,
because
who are the highest owned guys, 75 and below?
Give those to you right now. Corey Connors, 12. I really like that though. Alex Noren, 10.5.
Yeah, he's underpriced.
Yeah. Akshay, 9.5.
Okay.
Dean B, 9. Jaeger.
Yeah.
8.5.
I could, because to me, I really like Jaeger this week. I bet Jaeger.
Yeah.
This week. Like,
Jesus, why is Denny 14%?
Because of Golf Bet Caddish tweet. He fucks on bet and he fucks on long courses. Oak Hill. Not Oak Hill, Memorial. Like, he's done it on long bent tracks for whatever reason.
I think that's the worst. I think that's the worst play on the slate. It's 14%, Benny.
What is Keith Mitchell?
I just got a text. I just got invited to a Memby guest. I just got sidetracked.
What course?
Keith Mitchell, Hudson National, flex.
Nice. Don't know
it. Keith Mitchell's high, dude.
Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, Keith Mitchell's going to be the highest owned guy in the 6K range outside of Denny. So I'm still going to play him, but that's Keith because I'm Mitchell, playing a lot of.
Like, Keith Mitchell can win this golf tournament. I'm not even joking. Like, his ball striking stats are unbelievable this year. Like, he is hitting the ball so well. I think he's like second in ball striking in this like entire field over like a pretty large sample size. Like, I bet him at Byron. I think I bet him at Valero. Like, I've been on him. So, like, I'll Vic lap that. But on a course where you have to drive it super elite, be a really good long iron player, like, you know, might not have to make a zillion putts, probably will. But, like, I really think Keith Mitchell could pull Emilio Pereira. Like, I genuinely do think that. It's like, yo, where the fuck did Keith Mitchell come from? But you look at his recent results, and he's had a really consistent year. And the ball striking's been really, really good. Like, again, I'm not, you know, doing anything crazy, like whatever he's high on the DraftKings, but I really think that Keith Mitchell has a potential to pull Emilio Pereira. So I bet him with eight places.
What was the number?
Like 150-1 with eight places each way.
Yeah, I think it's a great bet. I think if you're asking me, like, all of the articles that I've had to write, all the people that have texted me, like, what's one mega long shot top 20 play? Keith Mitchell, core four guy for me.
He's in the core four.
He's in the core four. I'm not going to give away anyone else, but
fuck, dude. He's fucking right now.
Yeah. I think the modern skill set that the PGA Championship tends to favor, I think Keith Mitchell has that, and yeah, he has developed into one of the best long iron players on the PGA Tour this season. So I think even if this golf course doesn't test driving in the way that you'd maybe hope for, Mitchell's still been like a top 15 long iron player on the PGA Tour this season. So I could not agree more with you on Mitchell. I don't know. Or what other, I should know this because I've actually been around and online this week, but I don't know why the,
I don't think I'm people are like betting him,
but he's going to be highly owned in draft.
Next up 11.
Knicks up 11. Is it halftime yet? No, yeah, I got good. I got to watch an hour of this game and then I got to head to a dinner. But
Jaeger, 150-1. Get me on Jaeger courses where you can just bomb it off the tee and hit a bunch of long irons. He's been putting well. Good bent putter. Again, I don't think, like, I think Stefan Jaeger is like an elite golfer for 2024 on the PGA Tour, and I really like him. Also, last year PGA Championship, he played really well the first 3 days and had a really bad Sunday. So it's not like he can't show up at these courses. Like, I really think Stefan Jaeger will be top 20 this week. Like, I really could see him actually contending this week. Keegan Bradley's been hitting his irons really well, and he's 225-1.
Yeah. And I don't know why you're talking about these guys in the outright market. Like, they can win the tournament, but like, all these guys are in my DFS pool.
What about, I like Kellen Moore too.
We got to talk. I mean, what's the demographics in Louisville?
Like, I mean, Kentucky's a red state.
Kentucky's red, right?
It's very red. Like, I don't know the last time it went blue. Like, it's not even a swing state.
Yeah, Kentucky's red for sure. No, you're absolutely right about that. In an election year, I mean, Taylor Moore red in an election year.
It's a model play. You just play Taylor Moore, like, in a solid red state.
Yeah, you play. That's fair. That's fair. I'm cool with Taylor Moore there for sure. He bombs the ball off.
Then also, like, if you want to jam in two guys high in DFS, I like Jordan Smith and I like Grayson.
What's the Smith and Murray case? Because like three guys have mentioned Grayson Murray to me, and it's like, what?
Bomber, what is it? Deep red state fucked last week. And he's like $5,300. Yeah. He's $100 more than Wei Yang.
Yeah, I'd rather play Luke less, but I understand the general sentiment.
Like, he's $100 more than fucking Wei Yang. Like, I, you know, I don't know if it's a Hazeltine comp, but like, you could do some work there. In my opinion.
I actually had somebody DM me that they're friends with Grayson Murray's coach, and that allegedly Murray's like playing some of the best golf of his career right now.
Holy fuck. Oh,
should I play him? Like, I get a lot of those. I get a lot more messages of
but
those.
You don't tweet.
I don't like, always act
respect,
them.
Out of respect for Grayson Murray, like, you're not going to.
Well, I don't even, not only do I not always tweet them or like tell people about them, like, I don't even act on them myself half the time because, like,
that's a crazy DM to receive.
I've gotten a lot of those. You know, you want to know the best DM I ever got is. I've gotten some weird ones, but like an hour before they teed off in the second round of Vedanta Vallarta, somebody DM'd me and said, Goddorup has food poisoning. And and he's been throwing up all morning in his hotel room in Mexico and don't play him in showdown.
I was like, okay.
Okay.
Like, what am I going to do with this information?
And he withdrew. He withdrew. And the information was correct. So did I can't believe I missed.
Did he just like reply with a green Scotland check?
Play. Yeah.
Like after it was
he's
through?
Actually a great guy. Like he's a, and, but you know, like you can pick up these things and you got to like, I'm getting dinner tonight in an hour or two with somebody who's really close with Benny on. They played IMG academies together growing up and, he went off to start his own company and now he started a company called Form that actually, sponsors Benny on and a lot of other golfers. It's like, they have patents on a lot of, technology, that they put in their shirts that helps with posture. So it's actually really good for golfers. A lot of golfers use it. They'll wear it as an undershirt. And it will help them with their posture. Like the shirt naturally forms your body to make it more upright at address. Okay. And he's really close with like all of, you know, the Asian golfers on tour. And he gives me stuff on them all the time. Where it's like, this guy's playing great. And it's like, everybody's playing great. Like, I guess all these guys like look wow. Amazing. Everybody looks amazing. It's you have to, you know, the practice
no
rounds.
Show, no one to follow them.
Yeah. I mean, the practice rounds, the information, it's like every take ever is this guy looks great. So you gotta know how to decipher it.
In all seriousness, I think it's like too much for Benny on. Like, I don't think he's gonna top five back to back weeks and like pop. At the PGA Championship.
He is undoubtedly close. Like, I agree it's not going
to
be this week.
I mean, that cocksucker owes me $4,000. So can you tell your friend to relay that message to me? I mean, God damn, Sony Open.
From Sony. And I had Keegan.
Genuinely, though. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I had Keegan that
to fucking Grayson Murray.
Yeah.
God damn. Yeah. No, I genuinely... Like, Grayson Murray, like, I'm putting in... I made the cut parlay. Grayson Murray might be an ESL guy. Like, Scotty Grayson.
Now that we have the inside info on him.
Scotty Grayson, every single lineup.
Okay, so just give me like real quick recap of, I got to go quickly and write an article in like five, but tell me Hilton Head recap. What'd you shoot at RTJ?
I shot a 91 at RTJ, lowest round of my four friends. And they are all, like Pete's better at golf.
So we're talking Petey, Tommy.
And Buckley. You don't know Buckley.
I don't know Buckley.
But like, you know Tommy's game, you know Petey's game. Beat all.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I think that you are Tommy. I could see that being a toss up.
Yeah. Tommy and I are pretty much even. But Andy, I am like a good iron player now. It's crazy. Like, it's like I get up to a par three and I'm like, yo, like, I'm going to hit this green right now. Like, my GER percentage on par threes have shot up exponentially. It's great. Like, I got,
do you have like a new, do you have like a new swing thought or what do you
know? Like, I have a new grip and like new posture with my arms, but like my irons, like I haven't hit that like wipey way left ball. Like I haven't, it's amazing. Like my irons are so much better. And like, I went into the trip, like, yo, like I'm really playing well. Like I'm really hitting my irons well. Like I really want to play well. Like, cause I never usually play well on golf trips. And it's like, it was like literally like 180 par three, 6 iron to like 15 feet. And I was just like, ugh. Like, it was crazy. Like my, like I had 7 greens in reg on Fazio, which is like a tougher course.
So what is your golf? Do you have a golf goal for this summer?
Yeah, like, I think like
golf,
if
what are
I
your
like,
golf play, what are break your golf 85. Plans for this?
Like summer? Break 85 is like first.
But you've
goal.
Done
like,
you've done that before.
I think I shot 84 once, but like, but obviously golf goal is to break 80.
Do you have any
and like get like, handicap down to like a 13-12? I'm like a 16.2 right now.
What's the goal in terms of like rounds per week? Like how often are you? Do you
I
have
mean, I can play
plan?
Once a week, easy.
Yeah, once a week. Okay.
But okay. Like I went to Golf Tech, like did a bunch of lessons, like iron's way better. And now like I drove it well in Hilton Head, like easily like the best out of everyone. Everyone was like, you drove it great. But
so
you
kicked all these guys'
yes.
Ass. Like you beat them all.
Like I played well. Good. Like I was very happy with myself. But now I think I'm gonna go to Golf Tech and get like a do driver lessons. Cause I'm not gonna fucking slice an OB, but like I'm hitting just like a low draw. Like I want to unlock the off the tee and like it worked for the irons. So like now I'm focusing on off the tee, but like I'm very happy with my golf game right now.
Sweet. Well, we'll play a bunch this summer. Are you
yeah,
in for like
sure.
Placid? Are you in for
yeah,
like Placid? Okay. We'll do. Yeah. We'll do some LP. We'll get Kyle up there. Maybe John
on
up there again. Get you up to, we'll get you up to Oak Hill as well.
We'll end it, but did Scott reach out to you? Holdridge?
No. About what?
I don't. It's his news to tell you. So I don't.
Is he having a kid or something?
No, it's way better. He's playing Pine Valley.
He's playing PV?
Yes.
How? Good for him. That's so sick.
Right? I thought he was joking.
That's so sick.
You guys.
I love Scotty. I'll text him. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's his news to tell, but it couldn't wait. Andy, pleasure. Everyone check out IGP, one of the best podcasts out there. The content has been really great this week. We got a couple guys together that we're riding. So, you know, it'll be nice to have some dual sweats going. But very appreciative of your time and our friendship. And I'm looking forward to Hala in all caps this week.
A lot of golf this summer. Yeah, can't wait. Yeah. Third at Oman. Yeah, we'll be should be a good week. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Everyone have a good night. See you next week. Colonial.